go. Time for sex ed in church. I love doing sex ed in church. Ready? Virgins can't get pregnant. I was going to say it is flatly impossible, but I considered the range of artificial insemination options, some of which are very relatively low technology, so I won't say that it is flatly impossible, but virgins can't get pregnant. And some of you are having very different reactions here right now. Some of you are like, obvious statement of the day, duh. And some of you are like, probably glad that I broke the ice because you knew it was true, but you wanted permission or something. Somebody's got to be the first one to break the ice and say it. And then some of you, well, I don't know, I'll speak for myself. When I was young, when I was 10 or 11, I really remember not wanting anybody to break that ice. Leave the story as it was. And when I heard this song, It Ain't Necessarily So, from Porgy and Bess, sung for the first time, I wanted to shush everybody. Shh. Stop. Shh. Now, I didn't think with my logical mind that Jonah could survive in the belly of the whale, but you see, Peter Pan had told me that every time a kid says, I don't believe in fairies, there's a little fairy somewhere that falls down dead. So the stakes are high. I didn't want anybody to say that there was something impossible in the Bible. But there is. So it's ironic that I've grown up to be a grown-up who loves telling people that there are impossible things in the Bible. As the song says, I takes the gospel whenever it's possible, but I takes it with a grain of salt. And I go around encouraging people on a regular basis to take the Bible with a grain of salt. I will give you grains of salt if you don't have your own. I've got a salt shaker. I've got salt for days. So let's look at this story with some grains of salt. Grain of salt number one, virgins can't get pregnant, but you knew that. Grain of salt number two, the Bible might not even have said that it was a virgin who got pregnant. In Greek, there is one word for young woman and virgin. The same word encompasses social status and sexual status, which they assumed to be the same, but you don't really know what they're talking about there. Is it that she is young? We don't know. So the word isn't even clear. Grain of salt number three. Matthew, the gospel writer, took the prophecy from Isaiah and he changed it. So let me tell you about what the prophecy from Isaiah, the first one, was originally about. They were living in political insecurity. Here they're like this tiny little kingdom of Judah. And there's these superpowers circling them. The king of Assyria wants them on his side. Ooh, Egypt might want a piece of that too. Like they're all circling around looking for which little state is going to ally with which big state. And King Ahaz wants to go to Assyria for protection. And Isaiah says, don't do that. Trust in God. You'll be okay. And Isaiah says, look, King Ahaz, I know you're not going to ask for a sign, but I'll give you a sign. Look, this woman's pregnant. Plot twist, possibly Isaiah's wife. This woman is pregnant, and she's going to have a baby, and she's going to name him God is with us, because prophets love giving their kids like ridiculously meaningful names. So even though it looks like God is not with us and we've got all these superpowers circling trying to put us under their thumb, we've got a kid named God is with us. And let me tell you, King Ahaz, this is the truth, that before this kid is out of diapers, the land will be deserted. These superpowers are going to leave you alone. You're going to be eating curds and honey. It's going to be milk and honey. It's going to be good. This kid is not going to remember the bad times. That was his message. That was the original prophecy, at least to the best interpretation I could put together from scholarship. So Matthew takes it, and he changes it. Now, of course, that prophecy was in a way unfulfilled, because did Ahaz take his advice and only rely on God? No. He went to Assyria, and they got, you know, treated like Assyria would treat them. So it didn't work out well then, and so Matthew is taking it and saying it's going to happen again, but it's going to be different this time. And then he probably got hung up on the virgin word or something there. Okay, grain of salt number next. Virgin births, or at least miraculous conceptions, were not unheard of in the ancient world. It happened a lot to pharaohs, to emperors, to really important people. If you read your Greek and Roman history, those gods and goddesses were, they, you know, liked to have their way with the humans around them. And that was the origin of many of the heroes of ancient stories. So, virgin births, miraculous conceptions happened in other places and to other people too. They didn't see them as quite as flatly impossible as we do. And the final grain of salt, this is a hard one. The story of Jesus' conception and birth was late breaking into Christian tradition. The first writers, Mark and Paul, talk about his life. They talk about his death. They don't say anything about his birth other than that it happened and that his mother was human. So, there. Do you got that? So it was two generations after Jesus' life and death and resurrection, two generations later, that people started to say, oh, when he was born, the stars rearranged themselves in the sky. When he was born, the angels sang for glory. It was two generations later. How are you doing with all this salt? I have, like, really well salted your Christmas right now. I don't know about you, but my inner child, my inner 10-year-old right now is going, la, 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 I can't hear you. Clap your hands for Tinkle Bell. I believe in fairies. I believe in magic. But Jesus is not Tinkerbell. Jesus is way more important than Tinkerbell. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important that we can't allow it to get put under this kind of glass dome of the fairy tale. Like, to say that the story is important because there are miracles in it, because there is fairy dust in this kind of snow globe, no. It is way too important to be put aside like that. And I think in our world today, there's a really sharp line between real and not real. And on one side, there's all the things you can learn and all the science and all the reality. And on the other side, we put fairy tales and we put poetry and we put children and we put crazy people all on the other side. And there's this line that shall not be crossed. Well, in the ancient world, the line wasn't exactly where it is now. And they considered some things possible, which we flatly don't. And they considered some things miraculous, which we consider to be part of the normal course of things. So, where does that leave us? I think I want to tackle first the whole idea of borrowing a prophecy and changing it, which is scandalous in a way. It's hard. We want to think that, oh yes, the prophets saw this thing coming and they saw it perfectly, and then we waited for 8 centuries until Jesus came. But no, they took a prophecy and they made it work for their time. And Mary, the song that Mary sang, that the choir sang for us, and that we will sing again later, she was reusing sacred scripture. She was using the song of Hannah. She was using things from the Psalms. She was taking prophecies and telling them again for her day. And I think that is at the heart, no scandal. That is what we need to do. Because our people have been under the thumb of the Egyptian pharaohs, and our people have been under the thumb of Roman emperors who claim to be miraculously born, and we need to say in the face of that, no, God is with us. Even today, when we might look around and see that the political situation might even seem similar, we need to say, no, God really is with us. And so then, to finally focus on this idea of Jesus' miraculous conception, his virgin birth. Instead of saying, can virgins get pregnant? Answer? Thank you. No. Instead of asking that question, let's ask, what was it about Jesus that made people say, oh, he was one of those. Oh, he was one of those miraculous births. He was the kind of guy that the stars would rearrange themselves in the sky for. What was it about him? What was it about his entering our world that made people say that? The classic answer is that sex is dirty and Jesus was perfect. So therefore, he couldn't have had anything to do with it, therefore virgin birth. And I think that says a lot more about the people who say that than it does about Jesus himself. Another answer that I was given recently was that, well, they did it so that people would believe in him. They made up this story to relate to Romans who told these stories all the time, and that's why they did it, so that people would believe in him, so that people would join him. And I don't think they were doing it to get the Romans. I don't think they were telling this story to the Romans. I think they were telling this story against the Romans. They were saying, oh, you've got the guy who's the most special in the world, this emperor, this son, divine son emperor. Well, we've got one too. He's a king, but not that kind of king. And finally, the interpretation that I like best is that it was important to say that Jesus was God all along, because we knew that this 30-year-old charismatic guy who went around talking, he's powerful, he's clever, whenever he talks, people listen to him. Yeah, you know that God dwells in that guy, right? It's really different to look at the powerless infant and say, God dwells there. It's really different to say that God had to be fed, had to be nourished in the womb by Mary's body, that God needed human flesh, that God needed us to come with it, to come to fullness. And to take that prophetic name, Emmanuel, I will say, God is with us. But God is not just with us when we're winning. God is not just on that upward trajectory towards the victory all the time. God is also with us when we're losing, when we're hungry, cranky, and possibly oppressed. God is with us especially in those times. And may God be born in each of our hearts as that tiny, helpless babe. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the hymn of response.